Good to have all of you. And we're glad you're here. Amen. Care who you are. You're welcome.
Amen.
Brother Beck, how's Wyoming, son? 15 below zero, they said. Good night. Woo! All right, well, that's cold. That's cold. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 2 and verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." They went, came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. Lord, bless this holy word tonight. Anoint it, anoint the word, and anoint this messenger. Now, Heavenly Father, open the ears of people that they may hear it and receive it into their heart, into their soul. In thy name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Rahab is mentioned twice in the New Testament. The writer of Hebrews mentions her, and the writer of James mentions her.
Yes.
Rahab has a prominent place. If you'll find it in Matthew chapter number 1, you'll see her in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that tells us that as far as the Jewish people are concerned, Rahab is held in high esteem. If you notice, it says, even Jericho. I've been to Jericho. Jericho is there next to the Dead Sea, lying below sea level. And some say that it's probably the lowest city in the world. In other words, in altitude. It has no altitude. It's below sea level. The Israeli jet fighters will fly down across the Dead Sea and break the sound barrier, and what they're doing is literally flying below sea level. And this is one of the few places in the world you can do that. Jericho, they say, is one of the oldest, if not the oldest, city in the world. And so therefore we understand, if we take that literally, who was the first city builder? It was not the line of Abel. Cain. He's the one who built back in the book of Genesis. So therefore, there may be a connection here with Cain, since it's Jericho and it's so old. You go over there, and I've been over there now a number of times, and the archaeologists will point out to you how that the walls are falling down. They have fallen. There they are in the ruins of Jericho, just as the Bible said it would happen. Now, we read about God telling Abraham in Genesis 15 his seed would be a stranger 400 years in a strange land. After that, he'd visit them, bring them out. They did. And then instead of at Kadesh Barnea, they chose to rebel against God, and only Joshua and Caleb said, "We can take the land." That was Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh in Hebrew means holy, holy Barnea, holy in the sense that this is a separated place unto God. And here you're going to make a decision that's going to affect the rest of your life. That's how it's used, and that's what it means. And so they rejected that, and only Joshua and Caleb said it. So for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And then when they got to cross the Jordan and got to the plains of Gilgal, all of the men had been born after that or during that 40-year period of time and had to be circumcised, because all of the old that came out, all of them died during that 40 years in the wilderness. And so these young men come across, and here they are facing enemies. There are seven distinct groups of people mentioned in the promised land. Seven is the number of perfection. In other words, God has gathered them together, and here you're going to have a battle, and you're going to have battle after battle against the enemies of God. This is one of the places that the liberals hate the Bible, because they try to throw this in your face and say that, well, they went in there and they killed women and children and all of that. Well, my dear friend, I'm not trying to make excuses for anyone, but you've got to remember something also. This is about 1,400 years before Christ, about 3,400, 3,500 years ago, and things were definitely different then. Truth of the matter is, they're still killing people today. If you hear a general talk about it, he'll call it collateral damage. That's a euphemism for women and children that got killed, and they weren't combatants. So we know that when they came into the land, they had a formidable foe, and that was Jericho, a walled city. And so God wasn't going to just hand them the land, but what God said he'd do, "I'll be with you." And so he was with them. They took Jericho, and then Ai showed up. Ai was a place that Abraham, when he went into the promised land, he had Ai on one side and Bethel on the other. Bethel literally means the house of God or the house of Elohim. But Ai means a trash heap or a trash dump, a hill of molding, of dirt. And so Ai was an accursed place. And so when they came in, after they'd won the battle of Jericho, Joshua said, "We're going to take Ai." Well, they tried to take Ai. And you'd thought that they wouldn't have had any trouble doing that, but they had a lot of trouble doing that. And the reason they did is because he did not consult with the Lord about going in to Ai. And that was one of the times that he began to learn his lesson. If you're going to lead the people, you can only lead people in obedience to God. You can only lead people in obedience to God. We need leaders in this country. Amen.
Amen.
Badly. And so in Ai they lost, and so Joshua began to call unto the Lord. And the Lord told Joshua, there's a problem, and you first of all didn't call upon me. Then he met the captain of the host of the Lord, met him there. And he told him, he said, "Now take off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy ground." Yeah. This is ground that is sanctified and set apart for God. And so it was there, Joshua said, "Well, who are you?" And he said, "As captain of the host of the Lord, I am come." Joshua immediately accepted that. Now, here's something to think about tonight. This is the captain of the host of the Lord, and he is connected with Israel. When you read the book of Daniel, you'll find out that an angel of the Lord is connected with Israel. And he tells you in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel that he is connected with Israel. Who is that angel? Connected with Michael. Michael. Michael in Hebrew, and he's an archangel, and Michael in Hebrew means who is likened to God.
Yeah.
And so he's connected with the Lord. If you remember reading the book of Daniel, you'll find out Daniel had an answer to his prayer, but it took him 21 days to get to Daniel to bring the answer to that prayer. The reason he did is because he said, "The prince of Persia has come against me, this and that." He's literally not saying that the man of Persia or a human being. He's saying that I have had to deal with spiritual powers. Spiritual battles are taking place. And so if we look at it with that kind of an attitude as to this conquest of the Holy Land, we'll begin to understand that there is a greater battle taking place over the top of your head than what you see when you're shooting with weapons of war, whatever they may be. It's such a sad thing. I wonder who's over the head of America tonight. Amen. But in any event, they took Jericho and they took Ai. Now, it's important. Remember that. They took Jericho and they took Ai. And this word got around. I mean, it flat got around. And here you read about Rahab. Here she was in Jericho, and all she knew was what had happened when they came out of Egypt. And Og, the king of Bashan. That's all she knew, but that was enough for her to believe that the God of the Israelites or the God of the Jews was the true and living God. And so in chapter number 2 and verse 15 of the book of Joshua, it says, "And then she let them down by a cord through the window." They'd been sent by Joshua as spies. You remember how Joshua and Caleb were sent as spies into Hebron? Well, now here we have, he sends out two as spies into Jericho. But something remarkable shows up here. Look at chapter number 2 and verse number 15. She let them down by a cord through the window. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. She said, "Bind this line of scarlet thread in the window." Then look at chapter number 2 and verse 21. And she said, "According to your word, so be it." And she sent them away and departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. We have a cord, we have a scarlet thread, and we have a line. All three of these are connected with that scarlet thread that runs all the way through the Word of God. Now, this came from Genesis, Answers in Genesis, and the people at the Answers in Genesis are good people, folks. And they had this own line, and it is the scarlet thread that runs all the way through the Bible. If you'd like to have a copy of this, you're certainly welcome to it. I would encourage you, when the service is over, to come up here and look at this. You'd be amazed at how before the first man was ever made, the blood covenant was already satisfied. It's already in the mind of God. And he did exactly what he intended to do. And so that's the scarlet thread. And Rahab is part of the scarlet thread. She's part of the purpose of Almighty God. Now, I want you to notice what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4 and verse 12. "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Well, you just heard about a threefold cord. You have a cord, you have a thread, and you have a line. This is threefold. In plain words, wound up together, you have something that cannot be broken. Amen. And go a long way with that tonight, but I'm not going to deal with that because I've got more to cover here in this message. In Joshua chapter number 3 then, and verse 10, it says, "And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites." The Jebusites were the ones that were in Jerusalem, and they're the ones who David defeated. And then he moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem when he defeated these. Now, this is important. This is very important. He just told them that we're going to go against these people and God's going to deliver them into our hands. God's going to do it, and we're going to be courageous, and we're going to march off to war, and we're going to do what God told us to do. Now, we know tonight the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. We understand that. And it would be to our benefit to begin to understand what a stronghold is. But that, of course, is another message too, because I want to show you what's going on here. Look at chapter number 6 of Joshua in verse number 20. So he's promised them, he's told them, you have enemies, but the living God is among you. In Joshua chapter number 6 in verse number 20, so the scripture says, the people shouted with the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Then in chapter number 6 of Joshua and verse number 21, it says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But one household was saved. That was the house of Rahab. She had all of her family in there. She looked out for her family. No doubt her mother and her father. She loved them, even though she was a prostitute. And some folks try to make her an innkeeper. She's not an innkeeper. She's a prostitute. But she's one of those in the New Testament where he told the religious leaders, he said, prostitutes will go into the kingdom of heaven before you do. You know why? Not because they're prostitutes, because they believe. One of the good things, folks, and this is a good thing, about people coming to a church house and walking in and hearing the gospel for the first time, they don't have a bunch of religious baggage to get through. They just accept it for what it is. They believe and they're born again of the Spirit of God. And then those older brethren, you know them, don't you? The older brethren, they get kind of testy with it. They don't like the idea of somebody that just a few days ago were selling themselves. And now here they are. Who do they think they are? They're children of God. That's who they are. Because Christ went to the cross for every man. Amen. And I would that a message like that would get out even into what my mother calls Skid Row or the death chamber or maximum security or sleeping on the street or whatever, making a difference. The Bible said he tasted death for every man. So we know that Rahab, we know her, we understand her. But look at chapter number 8 and verse 28. And Joshua burnt Ai, made it an heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth to this day. So he's taken Jericho and he's taken Ai. And the word spreads like wildfire. It spreads like wildfire. Look what it says in chapter number 9 and verse 1. It came to pass when the kings were on this side Jordan, the hills and the valleys and the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof. Verse 2, they gathered together to fight with Joshua. That's important because of what's about to happen. Look at verse 3, Joshua chapter number 9, verse number 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old socks, so forth and so on. And when we come down here to verse number 9, Joshua 9:9, let's lay the groundwork for what's about to happen. They've heard the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel destroyed Jericho. He destroyed Ai. Yeah. And they made up their mind that they were not going to fight against this God. Okay? That's what they do. They used trickery.
Yeah.
If you'll notice now, watch when we read this. They used trickery. So what kind? They made it appear as though they had been off in a foreign country. And the only thing they knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is Egypt and Og. They made it look like they knew nothing about Jericho or Ai. Watch this. And that's what makes it helps us understand it. Verse 9. They said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come. Watch this. Because of the name of the Lord God, thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he, watch this, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Notice, not a word about Jericho or Ai. What are they trying to do? They're trying to say to the children of Israel, we were foreign in a foreign country, and we heard what a great God you serve, and we're coming in here, and we want to be part of you. We want to join with you because we've heard of the fame of your God. Verse 10 and verse 9, verse 11 rather. Wherefore our elders and the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals. And what they did, they used old bread, moldy bread, old clothes, all this made it look like they'd been traveling in a far journey. Now don't forget this. This is the important part. They came to Israel. Joshua heard their story. Joshua said to himself, well, then these people are not coming to us because we destroyed Jericho or Ai. They're coming to us because they heard about our God a long way off. Remember when the spies went to Rahab's house? Rahab had heard, no doubt, many times about what had happened. And she hazarded her life for these Jews. And Rahab, of all the people in Jericho, Rahab's life and her family was spared. She trusted in the God of these two spies. She took her whole family and put them under the wing of this of God before Jericho was destroyed and Ai. You see this? You getting this? This is the important part. Now watch this. Joshua 9, verse 14. The men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Joshua did not bother to pray about taking the Gibeonites in. Now he made a mistake, and Israel would live to see the results of that mistake. They would live to see the heartache and sorrow that that mistake brought in on their people. 9:15. He made peace with them, made a league with them to let them live, and so forth. But look at verse 16 of Joshua 9. Came to pass end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors. So they knew they'd been told a lie, and they knew what these people were doing. They were doing it because of what they'd heard about Jericho and Ai.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, that's what they're doing. It's not because they cared anything about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. It's because they cared about their belly,
right,
their life.
Yeah.
Now watch what happens. And verse 17, the children of Israel journeyed, came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chephirah, Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. That's important to remember, because they made a covenant with them, and they could not break that covenant. They had made a hasty covenant and could not break it. There will be people who come into the church house, and they'll come into the church house for all kinds of different reasons. And let me tell you what the one reason that matters in your life, and always will. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not here for him, you're here for the wrong reason. Period. You're here for the wrong reason. And so they came. And then they found out. They found out that they had been lied to. And Joshua said to them in chapter number 9, verse 24, called them, spake to them, saying, why did you beguile us? Why did you lie to us? we are very far from you. See this? We're not together. We'll never be together. When ye dwell among us, verse 23, now therefore you're cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, hewers of wood, and drawers of water for the house of God. They answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants, how the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land, and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and done this thing. They knew a lot.
Yes, sir.
They knew about Moses. They knew a lot. Yeah. It's like the wise men, the magi that came at the birth of Christ. We don't know how much they knew, but they knew he was the king of the Jews.
Yes.
So they were made hewers of wood and received into the congregation. Now look at 2 Samuel chapter number 21 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 21, 1. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years. Three shows up all over the place. What's the word? What's the number three? Numbers in the Bible are very important. Very important. 40 is the number of testing. 7, divine completion. 3, divine unity and sovereignty. Something will be finished as a unity, as a unit. And so we have, in the days of David, 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. So now they've had a famine. And I told you before, every time a famine shows up in the Bible, find out why. Why the famine? Where'd it come from? Why do we have a famine? Because God promised them in the Old Testament. He said, if you obey me and keep my commandments and do what I've told you to do, he said, I'll send the former rain, the latter rain. None of these diseases will come upon you. They came upon the Egyptians. I'm going to bless you. And he said, when you plow the ground, he said, I'll give you the fruit for your labor. He said, this land is not like the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt was entirely different from the land of Israel. The land of Israel only needed one thing to be able to grow anything in the world. And you know what it was? Is rain, water. The land of Egypt is a desert except for one area. It is. It's a desert except for one area. That's where the Nile River flows into the Gulf of, into the Mediterranean Sea. It flows from the south to the north. Therefore, they worshipped the Nile. The Nile brought them life. A river brought them life. God gave the children of Israel life from above. Rain. And that gave them life. Now he said to them, there was a famine. So David wanted to know why the famine. Here's what happens. The Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house.
Yes.
Because he slew the Gibeonites. Now wait a minute. These are the people who came under pretense and were received into the camp of Israel. They never did become Israel. They never did become a Jew. But they came to a people that had honor. A people who, when they made a covenant, they were bound by that covenant. And one of the reasons they were is because when God made a covenant, he was bound to that covenant. And he stuck to his word. And that's why when the Lord Jesus Christ said, this is the cup of the new covenant, the new testament, which is shed for you. Nothing's going to trump it. He's not going to do away with it. And matter of fact is, of all the covenants that's ever been made, or ever will be made, none are as important as that one cup. This is the covenant of the New Testament in my blood. So what happens? He said it's because of Saul he slew the Gibeonites. Now why did he do that? Well, will you remember when Samuel said, I want you to go to the Amalekites. I don't want you to take any prisoners. Samuel said, destroy them, oxen, ass, sheep, people. Destroy them and wipe them from the face of the earth. Here comes Saul. And Saul brings sheep and he brings Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Saul says, your servant has done what the Lord told him to do. And this is one of those good things in the Bible. Samuel says, then what meaneth the bleeding of these sheep? Yeah. In other words, you didn't do what God called you to do. That stayed with Saul for the rest of his life. So what happened to him? He got to a place to where he thought he could use the Gibeonites to improve his standing among the people. So, because the Gibeonites were not Jews, And a lot of the people probably hated him and never wanted to receive them into the camp. And so he just went out and slew a bunch of them. He made a political move. That's what that was. A political move. He killed them and they were innocent. He shed innocent blood. God won't tolerate it. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven abomination to him at the very top of the list. Hands that shed innocent blood. If you're a baby killer, you need to pay special attention to that. I didn't say that. God said that. And if there's two people, two classes of people in the Bible, you better leave alone. Widows and orphans.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. God said that. You're going to get in trouble. Widows and orphans. And God has no use for baby killers. So we find here that he was disobedient. Then he tried to pull a political trick. He slew the Gibeonites. And then in chapter number 2, verse number 6, let seven men of his sons be delivered to us, and we will hang them up on the up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. So the Gibeonites asked for that. They asked for that in retaliation to justify what had been done to them. And verse number 8, the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare to Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul. You remember Michal? If anybody ever despised David, it was Michal, and she was his wife. So we read, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Maholathite. You remember Barzillai that we talked about Sunday night? So we have seven sons. He delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites. They hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest. In the first days, the beginning of barley harvest. Here we go. Innocent people now are dying. Innocent people are dying because Joshua did not call upon the Lord and ask him about these Gibeonites. Innocent people are dying. Chapter number 21, verse 10. Now watch this comparison. 2 Samuel 21:10. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. God is able to bring a good thing out of a bad thing.
Right.
Who's Rizpah? She was a concubine of Saul.
Yeah.
That's all. She wasn't his wife. She was a concubine of Saul. Nothing. Got no place in the Bible except for this. Because her son was one of them that had been hung, that was put to death. And his body and bones lay on top of that rock. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. Word got back to David. Now, why is she there in the first place? Because David said to the Gibeonites, we've wronged you. Tell me what you want, please, because we don't want innocent blood on our hands. We've wronged you. They said, we will take seven sons of Saul, because Saul is the one who waged war against our people unjustifiably. David gives them seven sons of Saul. One of them was the son of Rizpah, a concubine. Now she rises to the top because she shows character that Saul never had. Here is nothing but pure love poured out right there. She stayed on top of that rock. She lived there. She would not suffer the beast to tear the bodies apart and drag them off. She stayed right with them, drove them away. This is character. God showed you pure character in the midst of Saul's treachery and what he and who he was. If there ever walked a man on the face of this earth who didn't know who he was, It was Saul, the first king of Israel. You know who he was. When they came to pick him as the king, he was hiding himself. He was hiding. But notice what follows. The Bible said it was told David, Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them. And you know what happened there, the battle with the Philistines. Saul took his own life, where the Philistines had hung, where they were hanged. Now watch this, verse 14. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin and Zelah, in the sepulcher of Kish his father. And they performed all the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land, and the rains came again. Innocent blood had been paid for. Your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain was a murderer, and his descendants were murderers, killers. I would somehow or another get the message over to these people. I don't care how religious you are. If you're a murderer, you're going to hell. And the only thing keep you out of hell is Christ. Your religion won't do it. If you're a baby killer, you're headed for the pit. I didn't say that. God did. He hates that. He hates the killing of the innocent. But he showed the sterling character of Rahab and the sterling character of Rizpah through the whole mess. And lo and behold, it's two women. So, men, some of you, I know you hate to hear this, but the truth of the matter is there are some real heroes in that Bible that were women. Amen. You get off the book of Judges, you'll find that Dinah was a hero. And God used women over and over and over and over again. Used them, blessed them, and taught us great lessons through them. Amen. 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 One thing led to another, to another, to another, to another, to another. When it says holy ground, it means you're standing on a place separate to God, and that you're going to make a decision on that spot. And that decision you make on that spot is going to determine what happens to you the rest of your life. When Moses stood before that burning bush, God said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. A shoe is an artificial separation between you and the ground. Take them off. I want you standing on the curse, the ground. Cursed is the ground. I want you standing on it with your own feet, your own flesh, and I want it touched. And even though that ground is cursed, it is separate unto me. God cursed Jericho, but he said it is holy unto the Lord. He didn't mean it was moral or good. He said it's mine. It belongs to me. That's what the word holy means. Separate unto God. This is why the Bible, New Testament says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'm glad, thank God, for the day the Lord came to me. My grandfather took me to church. He's the only one. But he took me to church. He took me to Beaumont Baptist Church. A.G. Hall was the pastor down there, good preacher. Now, we're talking about, Lord of mercy, 60 years ago, 65 years ago. And he took me down there, took me to church. I remember my Sunday school teacher, I'd sit in her class, and she'd teach and did a good job teaching. Learned a lot of things in there. Didn't do anything for me, but I learned a lot of things in there. And then somebody came to me in 1973. And when he came to me in 1973, he changed me forever. Sitting in that living room, on that sofa, was holy ground. For I was about to make a decision that would affect me for the rest of my life. Holy unto the Lord is what that priest wore, that high priest. Holiness, holy unto the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Bless his righteous name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Father, bless your word. And bless it to the folk tonight. I hope they get something from it. Lord, you show us character and you show us true character and you show us courage and you show us love. And Father, we learn lessons from it. We learn. In thy name I pray. Amen. All right. We have any